There are all sorts of things about which many of us are very careful to be alert. Investors must always keep an eagle eye on the European and Asian markets, on inflation rates, on the price of gold and silver, on the unemployment figures, on the cost of fuel. Football coaches getting ready for possible bowl game invitations must carefully watch their possible opponents and then plan timely adjustments to their game plan. If you're driving over the holidays in Chicago or some other big city where the traffic is terrific, you must always watch for those idiots driving all around you and listen to the traffic reports. Farmers, out of lifelong habit, always, always, always keep careful watch on the weather. Even the densest husband will usually keep alert and watch if their wives haven't spoken to them for a week or two. They may then realize that somehow they have offended and they need to make amends. Life requires us all to watch, look, and listen, to be wide awake and stay alert, keeping a sharp eye on what's happening, ready for anything and everything, and always on guard. That is basically the message of today's scripture readings for this, the first Sunday of our Advent. Today's first reading, the prophet Isaiah prays that God's people will be found always doing right and ever mindful of their ways. The prophet begs that the glory of God rend the heavens and come down. He declares that God is the potter, and the tribes of Israel are the clay, so the people must always be ready for the day of their redemption. Today's second reading, St. Paul challenges the church of Corinth to use their gifts to prepare for the judgment. He promises that God will keep them firm to the end of time, irreproachable on that day of the Lord. Finally, in today's Holy Gospel, according to Mark, Jesus exhorts, be watchful, be alert, stay awake. Don't let the day of judgment catch you off guard. You do not know when the master of the house is coming. Perhaps at dusk, perhaps at midnight, perhaps at early dawn. The Lord warns, be attentive and ready to make whatever changes and adjustments need to be made while there is still time, so as to be ready for eternity. This is the constant message of all the assigned readings for the end of the old liturgical year. And for this, the first Sunday of Advent, at the beginning of the new liturgical year, we are reminded, almost like the cadence of a drumbeat, repeated over and over again, that everything in life not only has a beginning, but also has inevitable ending. Just as this world was once created, just as each one of us was once born, so also will this world certainly end, and so also will each one of us assembled this morning in our cathedral one day surely die. It is simply foolish to shut our eyes to the truth. We need to be ready and prepared. Life isn't cheap. It is precious because it matters. Time on earth isn't infinite. It is valuable because it ends. This world as we know it will pass away, and every human being who has ever lived will be judged by Jesus Christ. In Advent, we wear the purple of conversion. Precisely because while we live, we hope, we serve, and we pray that we may be profoundly changed. So Advent is not just a preparation for the celebration of our Lord's birth 2,000 years ago. Advent anticipates his coming in glory at the end of time. Just as the children of Israel once prayed for the coming of the Messiah, today Christians living in this era of grace pray daily with longing and expectation, "Thy kingdom come." And as the prophet Malachi once foretold, "Suddenly he will come, the Lord whom you seek, the messenger of the covenant whom you desire. But who will endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like a fuller's lye." And so, with rituals far older than eating turkey or watching football or shopping or decorating, in Advent, the church intensifies its devotion. Advent is a grace time for all of us to go to confession, for all of us to savor the Holy Scriptures, for all of us to pray the rosary, to give some greater effort to the works of charity, to spend a bit more time in quiet prayer, and even if we're able, to attend Mass every day. We need to welcome Jesus Christ more fully into our lives so that he will welcome us into his life. That is what Advent is all about. And that is what Christmas is really all about. 2,000 years ago, in past history, Christ was born for us in Bethlehem. But today, Christ desires to be born more fully and completely in our hearts. And that same Lord who will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead also comes to us at Mass, truly and substantially, when we receive Holy Communion. Should we not welcome him with greater reverence and awe? Should we not savor his holy presence with deeper recollection and renewed faith? Are there not private words each one of us need to say to him? Promises to be made, secret words, the words of love to be shared. Should we not cry out to him, confessing, "He is our Messiah, he is our Savior, he is our Redeemer, he is our Lord and our God"? Should we not be more alert, more wide awake and ready for that wondrous gift of grace that even now is offered to us as our food and our drink? Today, may we more fully live our Holy Communion with him on earth, so that one day we may share with him an eternal communion amid the ceaseless bliss and beatitude of heaven. Then at last, we shall see our God with unclouded vision and feast forever at the banquet of everlasting life.